Welcome to the activation phase. I'm JP and joined tonight by Tim.
Hello.
We are covering the Irish this month. I said this month, I think.
This month.
This quarter.
This year, yeah.
But we are powering through Age of Vikings. Yeah, in the middle, almost. I don't remember how many we've done, but we're reaching the middle of the...
We're in the middle.
Well, with the number of warbands, right?
No, I think we're way past that, right? We did Normans, we did Welsh, we did Skraelings, we did Norse Gaels, we did Vikings, we did Carolingians, we did the Pagan Rus, we did Anglo-Saxons. I think we're like at like the 8th or 9th, maybe.
Right. This is a pleasant surprise. I thought we're just starting, but anyways, let's get to the Irish.
Yeah.
So
maybe 6 more months for the remaining 3 warbands.
don't get your hopes up, guys. So Irish people, what are the Irish about? What kind of playstyle? Let's just give a little bit of a flavor before we dive into the battle board.
Right. So, I mean, location wise, I think it's fair to say that they're like around the Ireland area. Like the actual island and the other part. Their playstyle is very skirmishy. Like, they're not brave. They don't have a plan. They just throw their sticks and it works.
Sling their slings.
Excuse me, of course. But I think that is the less epic version of this sport. Yeah, but yeah, of course. So, I mean, you talking about slings, me talking about sticks, should we maybe, now that we established that these guys kind of like to throw something, do you wanna go into the equipment options?
Sure, maybe before that, we covered the Welsh recently. So these are kind of like, how are they different from Welsh? Because the Welsh also throw sticks and skirmish. So how would you sell this to a new Saga player if they wanted to make a decision?
Right. So I think these guys, the Welsh are very, very tricksy, and they're very good at like outplaying your opponent. And these guys, to me, are about raw firing power. They have strong combos on their board that make incredible amounts of shots. And super deadly shots with like good pluses to their hit dice and everything, and extra hits when you get a 6 and stuff like that. So I think these guys are the foot more levy centered version of the Welsh, the stick throwing version of the Welsh. And so I think these guys are a great playstyle for a new player, because you kind of have to think about what you're doing, because once people catch up to you, you're dead. But that's also a great part of Saga for me, to like be confident in what you're doing and offer up, I don't know, a weaker unit to trap an opponent's unit. I think that's what the Irish want to do.
Yeah. I think the Irish also has a little bit of an exception to Age of Vikings. Warbands have a lot of special rules as well. So they have a lot they have an interesting kind of extra heroes that they can take, so they're very hero centric, and they also have stuff like wolfhounds, which you can take,
the war dogs,
so you can have a very varied warband with lots of different equipment options. But I think they're generally they kind of get played one specific way, at least for tournaments, but I think that's maybe optimizing a little bit too much. And taking other options definitely also means that they're strong, but maybe not top tier in terms of strength, but still very fun to play.
Yeah, and I mean, you're right. And there's one more special thing about the Irish. They love their heroes. As you said before, they have we will absolutely butcher this pronunciation, but it's like Cúraith or something. And you said something way better before, but... probably like Cúraith. I will just call it Cúraith. And they love their heroes, having 3-4 heroes on the board doing their stuff. it's a cool mix between being hero centric and having some weak melee units that are great in shooting.
Yeah, no, I think it's also always a cool warband to see on the table as well, and it's always a challenge. Lots of different crazy things happening. So generally, I think it's a tough one to play against, but it's also a fun one to play against. So
yeah,
I think that's a pretty good balance as well.
Yeah.
Most importantly, you can use your Dark Age warriors for this.
Obviously. And if you if you're semi brave, you can use your Scots and you can use your Welsh and you can mix them and it's gonna look perfect as Irish.
Exactly. All right, let's get on to the equipment options. Should I do the honors?
Please.
I normally have the book with me, so I normally end up doing this. All right, so there's unfortunately for me a lot of different equipment
options. Hell yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to power through this. So your Warlord, your Kurade, and your Hearthguard all have the same three options. They can either have javelins on foot, they can have heavy weapons and also be on foot, obviously, or they can be mounted on a horse with no special equipment. So no Welsh-style stuff. They lose their little shooty sticks. Then the warriors only can choose javelins. Then you have a special unit, the Wolfhounds, which we'll get into later. But basically, they have no special equipment and their armor 4-3. And then finally, your levies either have slings or they have javelins. So probably the next thing we need to cover is what exactly are these Kurades? They are basically personal champions, like mini personal champions.
Yeah.
So you can recruit two Kurade for 1 point. Or you can, if you really want to, you can also just take one and then you have to either lose your two Hearthguard or I guess your whatever.
I mean, with the current half point rules, right?
You can it's not a big
just
deal.
Just change anything around and just lose like four warriors, six levies, or two Hearthguard for one Kurade.
Yeah, so not a big deal anymore. Back in the day, you kind of had to. I think people generally always take two anyway. So
I if they do, so. They yeah. I have two for my warband for sure.
Yeah. So anyway, so they. They are like little mini heroes, so they're also worth less in terms of victory points. And they also have a slightly modified kind of hero, I guess,
profile
stuff. So yeah, that's what I was looking for, profile. Luckily, they don't create any saga dice, so that's good. They have an armor of 5 in melee and shooting. They have an aggression of 4. In melee and 2 in shooting, and they basically have to take the same equipment as your warband's warlord, and they have the champion special rule determination and resilience 1. So the only exception to the equipment is the war banner. So you can't take 3 war banners, which is
makes so sense. Unfortunate.
I mean, yeah, who knows. And then finally, the champion special rule is no unit may declare a charge against the warlord of a warband that includes the Kurade. I see they spelt it differently in this part of the text. So, good job, guys. If it could legally be directed at a Kurade at the moment it is declared. So basically, it's like a personal champion.
Yes, if you can charge him, if you can charge the personal champion instead of the warlord, you have to do it.
Yeah, so it makes sense. So they're the personal champions, they obviously have a saga dice, and then they have aggression of 6. And so they're low. But so it's a little bit of a downgrade, but they are still really amazing for half a point instead of taking whole point. And there's some definite synergies with the boards. As you'll see, that makes up for the lack of additional saga dice. But they have determination, so who cares? Anyway, so the next ones, Irish Wolfhounds. So these are super cool. However, you end up not seeing them that often on the board, which is unfortunate. So essentially, this replaces a unit of warriors. So you have 8 models, generally for aesthetic reasons, you use seven dogs and then one guy chasing
them. That's bullshit. Just eight dogs. I know. I don't do it.
Yeah, just do dogs. Also, it's easier to paint.
It's the easiest one point of Warriors you could ever paint. It's like a 10-minute paint job, and they will look good.
Yes, agreed. Maybe we can just use my war dogs, which I literally painted within. I think I did black base coats. Then half of them I sprayed gray. Half of them I sprayed like a sand color. One coat of wash, did the eyes, done. So,
and they look good.
They look perfectly serviceable. And yes. I wish there was like an entire warband of just dogs. anyway, so the rules for this unit. So the armor is 4 in melee and 3 against shooting. It's considered a foot unit without any equipment options. So that means they just move M. However, they do have a charge distance of L instead of M, and they can move through terrain without any penalties, basically. So it doesn't affect their movement or charge ranges. So that's pretty nifty, actually. But the unfortunately, the board does really reward shooting, so you don't see them a lot unless you people are playing a little bit more fluffy, I guess.
Yeah, and it's also super unfortunate with their armor, as you can see, as we can like look in a second here. But their armor being like 4-3 and not 3-4 is just heartbreaking. It makes them so much harder to activate with this board. And I think their idea is great, but their synergy is just it's non-existent with the board, which is super sad.
Yeah, unfortunately, they also don't have some of the rules of the Molossians in Age of Invasions. Like,
yeah, that would have been good, of course. Yeah.
I think that would have been a little bit gross.
Yeah. Maybe you're right. Yeah, Irish are good enough as is. All right. Yeah.
Okay, let's not give them any.
Do you want to give the battle board a read then to see why the armor 4-3 is an actual problem?
Yes, do it. So, the basic abilities are nice and simple. Nothing special there, and
it's just Age of Vikings, man. The top row looks normal. All right. So the first advanced ability is called Sons of Dana. It's an activation reaction that takes a common die. This triggered this ability after an enemy movement activation. If the activated unit ended their movement within short of an area of uneven terrain. Resolve a shooting attack against this unit. For this attack, you get 4 bonus attack dice. No saga abilities may be triggered during this shooting attack. So, pretty easy. You have an enemy unit move within short of a piece of uneven terrain. You get to shoot them with no unit, no fatigue on anything. Just from the woods or whatever. Just a free shot. 4 attack dice. No defense dice allowed. So, yeah, pretty good.
So annoying. This is the most annoying ability on the board as well. This is the ability I think about when I think about Irish. I'm like, oh no, I need to stay. The big open hill comes down as quickly as possible when I play the Irish.
I mean, you have two options: either stay like far enough away from the terrain for this not to matter, or just don't move. And both options suck most of the time. So this is a signature ability that will be, as an activation reaction, I think will have a die on it most of the time. And it's pretty annoying.
Yeah, it's pretty annoying. But it's I think people like imagine like little Irish kids hiding in uneven terrain, just like assaulting them with rocks or something. But yeah, it's very, very, it's very powerful. It's horrible against kind of countering the mobility of mounted warbands.
Yes.
If you're on horse, because it's you. First of all, you have a larger footprint of the unit. So if you're trying to squeeze between two uneven terrains, if they put them down correctly, you're just always going to get shot, or you have to take a long way around. So that sucks. But there are some ways around it. For example, like the Welsh, like this doesn't work if you're actually moving as an activation reaction. And like, so there's a few war bands, like Welsh are maybe less affected by this. Also, the Germanic peoples, they have a vivacity, so you can also move in your opponent's turn.
Yeah.
So then you're also less affected by it. But generally, it's pretty annoying.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just have to suck it up and take those four shots because you have no choice.
Yeah.
All right. I think we're off to a powerful start here with the
great start. Hate it.
All right. So the next one is using a goose, which is a uncommon. So this is a goose, right? It's not chicken or something.
Yeah, I'm sure. It is a goose, maybe. A goose.
All right.
It's not a turkey. See? So yeah, it has to be a goose, I guess.
All right.
It's maybe an uncommon anyway.
Skraelings came over and released a turkey on Ireland. So it's a goose. So hires of mill. This is heirs. Same as the heirs of Alexander, right?
Yes.
Order's reaction. Choose one of your units located entirely within an area of uneven terrain. Until the start of your next turn, no enemy unit can target it with a shooting attack or charge unless they are within a very short. So yeah, this is annoying, let me put it that way. Because like you can get shot, you can move your guys up, you can't, like, your opponent really won't be able to do anything about it. So it's also a nice way of just being able to get your guys nice and close to an enemy, throwing your javelins, and then not really having any having to worry too much about getting super or engaged by them unless they move twice, because then they have to get within very short. So generally very annoying.
Yeah, I mean, yes, annoying, but with everything that's coming up next, this is annoying, but I'm happy that people don't play this super often. In my experience, do you think this is a much played ability?
I think it's probably less than I would have expected. I think this is really a nice way of just getting really aggressive with a unit as well, and making sure that, for example, your warlord or your little heroes don't get charged or targeted by shooting easily. I think generally, if you're facing like a warband with mounted javelins or something like that, this isn't mm-hmm. going to help you because they can just kind of run up to you within very short, throw their javelins.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then scoot away. But for example, like a bow, I guess there aren't that many bow kind of centric factions in Age of Vikings, maybe Carolingians or something like that.
Yeah,
that would shut them down. But generally, it's a pretty solid ability.
Yeah, it is. All right. Do you want to go into the next? Oh, yeah, I will go into the next very, very solid ability on this battle board. And it's called The Old Way. It's an activation that takes either a common or a rare. Activate as many units as you have heroes in your warband. Only units with a melee armor of 3 or less may be activated this way. If you used a rare, the first of these activations will not generate any fatigue. And just quickly, this is a stag, which is important to us this episode on the rare die, right?
Yep, the moose.
Yeah, cool. So yeah, this as we said in the beginning, the Irish love their heroes and they worship them, and there will be abilities coming up that really make heroes strong. And so this one rewards you a lot for bringing like 3 or 4 heroes, so the 2 Kurraiths and your warlord and maybe a mercenary hero to be extra naughty. And of course, having 4 activations for basically your whole warband. So that would be your warriors with javelins have melee armor 3, your levies with either sticks, so javelins, or with their slings. Those guys also work. And so usually that is the main part of your warband. And so this is 3 to 4 activations for a common, unless you end up sacrificing your own heroes, which you should never do with the Irish. And so this is a banger of an ability that would, yeah, that usually dominates the game and makes the kind of makes the game, because your opponent needs to decide, do they either want to kill the heroes to stop this ability from working? Or do they want to kill the units to stop this ability from working because there's nothing to activate? And I think either of those ways usually works. But what doesn't work with the Irish is just like winning over one flank and killing a hero and a unit, and then the other side will just be still as powerful. And so, good ability. What do you think?
I think this pretty much gets used every single turn. So,
yes,
it also means that just purely the efficiency of dice, Irish people generally, or at least playing against them, it always feels like they have so much advanced abilities to play, which makes them very powerful, just because they trigger the old way and they have like a ton of free activations. So there's like not really a trade-off between like moving your guys and just doing super powerful advanced ability stuff. So this really supports that.
Yeah, and the hero playstyle with everything having determination and the Kurethes having determination, and it's just you get ton of action per turn with the Irish, and it feels really good to play that, but it's really tough as an opponent to stop it.
Yep, definitely. All right, cool. The next one is using either a common or a rare. This is called a Firbolg. This is a shooting ability, so gain 3 attack dice. If you used a rare, each attack die with which scores 6 or more inflicts an additional automatic hit. So this is the...
Wee! That's tasty.
It's pretty gross. I think also, once we go to the next one,
yeah,
the combo will become clear. So
yes.
Would you like to do the honors, Tim?
Yes, absolutely. The next one is called Cedar, maybe. It's a shooting ability, again, that takes a goose or a stacks or an uncommon or a rare. Discard all your attack dice. Until the end of the turn, all attack dice rolled in a shooting attack against the targeted unit get a +1 bonus. So, I mean, this isn't too complicated.
I think we need to explain this one.
Of course, we should explain it. Yes, because your Kurethe will just slightly get in there and be able to shoot his 2 javelin shots and then just play Cedar. So he puts his 2 shots down, and every other shot that will be fired at this unit this round will get a +1 bonus to its attack roll. So he sacrifices 2 of his shots, and then the next unit that fires at that unit, or all of the next units, you know, the big warrior, the big levy units, they just get incredible value for shooting at that unit, especially with Firbolg, the rare in there, because it says if you score a 6 or more, I mean, with the current rules, you can't score more than a 6, but a 5 can still turn to a 6, so you get a +1, and then on 5s and 6s, you get automatic hits additionally, and that just blows units up. I mean, of course, it's incredible.
Yeah, this is
and it's not too expensive. It's not even too expensive.
No, it's not even too expensive, I guess, and it's just so incredible, especially if you take guys with slings as well, so you have a little bit of extra range.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it's not difficult to get 2 or 3 different units shooting at a single unit and just absolutely crushing them. So
absolutely, with the old ways as well in there, it's very easy to like position your stuff correctly the first round and then just have all of the stuff, field box, see the old ways going off at the same time to just annihilate a unit that came too close.
Yep, definitely. Even if you're not even using the rare on the fear bog, you're still getting 3 attack dice. So that's not bad at all.
Yeah.
And yeah, like the little combo that we're talking about is not impossible to put off. It's basically at a minimum 2 commons and 1 uncommon to get to basically delete a unit.
Yeah.
With the old ways for Bolg and Cide. So it's
like,
and then determination from determination from the Kurday as well. So it's not impossible to pull off. It's actually
very common. It's one of the combos that actually work, unlike the Scots. Oops, hot take, I guess.
Yeah. Ooh, all right. Okay. So the next one is using a common. It's called Wail of the Banshee. This is a melee or a shooting reaction ability. So gain 2 defense dice. Each of your defense dice get a bonus equal to the number of fatigue tokens the enemy unit has. Nice. I mean, this is not bad for a warband which has a generally an armor of 3 in melee. So mostly when you're facing the Irish, you want to get across the board as quickly as possible and hit them, which normally includes getting one or two extra fatigues. Unless you're Carolingians. Unless you're Carolingians. But that does mean they can pop this one off relatively easily. I mean, two defense dice, it's nice. And then also for any additional fatigue, you get extra defense dice. So potentially, you're going to at least get like 3 or something. But it's still, for a common, it's much better than the combat bonus. So nothing wrong with it.
Yes, this is, as you said, for a, you know, they want the people to come close, and when they do, they are not even that weak. So having this up, I feel like it's just, as long as they have one or two fatigues, you will basically win the melee, even though your unit will be like a 12-man sling unit of levies, and just, you will still win the melee because your defense dice will be good enough. And yeah. It's a good ability, and you should have it up if you can. All right, next up is Moment of Truth. It's a melee or shooting reaction. The saga ability's step of this melee or shooting ends immediately, and it takes a rare. This can work for if you play into the right warbands, like combo heavy warbands, like the Irish themselves, or like the Scots, or like Scots, the Goths, or
something like that.
Yeah, Goths would hate this ability, but also it's a rare, and a rare which just does so much in Fearbulk. And yeah, having more dice for this board is great. So the idea of this is great, and to have it, like to have the possibility to use this it against those combat combo heavy armies. But I think this is the least used ability on this battle board.
Yeah, I think the rare is just the killer here. Even with the Polish warband, you can basically do this with a common ability. I think this one's just a little bit too expensive to be played regularly.
Yeah.
All right. Next one. So this is Spirits of the Land. This is a melee or shooting reaction using either a common or an uncommon. If your unit is located entirely within an area of uneven terrain, each of your defense dice gets a +1 bonus. So it's not uncommon to be in uneven terrain if you're an Irish person. So especially if you're deciding to shoot from it or something like that. So nice little thing. It basically means that you can close ranks and get the bonus for it if you get charged. If you're in solid cover, then things get pretty damn interesting, and your armor 3 guys become very, very difficult to shift.
Yeah, which they shouldn't be, but they are, and it's super annoying.
Yeah. What the hell? What's going on?
Just die. Come on, that's your job. The deal was, once I get here, you die. And no, you don't? Fuck this. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's mostly also especially if you're charging someone within uneven terrain, it normally means you're picking up extra fatigue anyway, just because of the short movement range.
Yeah.
So you get the double whammy as well with a Wail of the Banshee, I guess, if you really want to do it for, and then Spirits of the Land also with a common. So if you want a unit to survive, it's pretty easy for them to survive if they're in any kind of terrain.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's go to the next one, to Blood of Kings. It's an orders ability for heroes only, and it takes common and an uncommon die. Until the start of your next turn, all your heroes with the resilience 1 special rule have the resilience 2 special rule instead. And this works for mercenaries, of course. And so one of the few abilities that like are super good with mercenaries. And I have seen this played a lot, because having your Kure survive is just can just be super important, and having your warlord survive. And also this can help to just give a little bit of melee power to your warband, because you won't fold as easily as the Irish sometimes do. And so Blood of Kings, I think if you have the playstyle and you know your guys are in danger right now, and then this is good. And with some of the mercenary heroes, like Aegir, this is literally broken and should be banned, but it's not. So it is what it is. I mean, yes, the playstyle that is very common in German tournaments uses the Blood of Kings every now and then.
Blood of Kings. All right. It is pretty expensive, though. Common plus
it
one.
It is
common.
Pretty expensive.
But still, if you... it makes it so annoying, especially because, like, they the Irish really need their heroes to make things work. As soon as they start losing their heroes, they're kind of in trouble. So if they do want to get all risky and try something fancy with their heroes and they pop this, it gets pretty annoying to punish them for it, which is unfortunate. So the last ability, again, a two-dice ability, so using two uncommons, called Ireland's Heart. This is, again, a melee ability, a hero-only ability in melee. So you inflict two additional automatic hits. The first use of resilience by the hero during this melee does not inflict fatigue on him. So, pretty nice. It does only affect one hero and not all heroes like
yes.
the previous ones.
So
luckily, I don't actually think I've ever seen this one played against
me. Neither. Yeah.
Although it's not like I catch like a ton of Irish heroes to begin with. But like, they're pretty sneaky. So
there's
maybe
also
that's
very good places for uncommons on this board. So
yeah, and then two of them, it just really, really digs into your kind of like your little combo that we're talking about with the shooting.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I guess you're not going to kill you're going to kill a hero very, very it's not going to happen very easily. Basically, if they decide to pop this, but if they do this, then yeah, they're not playing it on. For example, the heirs of Mill or the C Day or something like that. So I would prefer them to play this than the other abilities. So
like throw their combos away. Yeah, yeah. I mean, yes. And this ability feels like it's just made for warlord and warlord violence, which I feel like the Irish warband isn't made for. And yeah, of course, your Kureth, which is much weaker than a warlord, can probably like rival warlord power with this ability and live through the encounter, maybe kill the enemy warlord even. But yeah, it's just maybe this is played more elsewhere, but not so much here in Central Europe / Germany / Duchy Land. Yeah.
All right. So that's the end of the Irish board. How would you... Like maybe we need to get the kind of like the Irish machine gun death shooty list out of the way first, and then we can talk about fun ways of playing the Irish.
Yeah, okay. Let's get it out of the way. So the Irish machine gun death list is, of course, is just you take a point of of Kureth's, and you potentially take a point of Aegir, a mercenary hero. And then so you have 4 points left, which you fully invest into levies and split them up into like 11, 11, and then like 9 and 7 or something. And yeah, it's, oh, sorry, 7 and 7 left, I guess. Yeah, I just just split the rest of the
many,
all of the
many warriors.
All of these levies. Yeah.
Yeah. So
You have 48 levies in total, so yeah, you can definitely do 11, 11, 11, and then not 11 again, but like 9 and 7, yeah. And that just works, because you have a good amount of dice. That's usually like five. That's five dice from the 4 points of levies, and then the mercenary hero provides a die, and then your warlord provides a die. So that's seven dice with insane determinations on the board and incredible amounts of shooting. And yes, your crew wraith are just there to be the old way heroes and be ready to do their CD activations. And that is just having your levies like mixed between javelins and slings. It's just insane amounts of shots with that amount of dice on the board. So it is brutal, and it has won tournaments over here.
Yeah. Did you mention you could also take a bard as well? Does that work with this setup? Because he does count as a hero.
He does count as a hero, but then your warlord loses determination, right? No, he loses We Obey.
You are right.
You could take the bard. I mean, it's probably even one of the like non-consequential switches for this warband, because you get one more activation through the old way through him, and you have one more less activation through We Obey. So potatoes, potatoes.
Yeah, but you can't take like a mercenary unit. But still, I think then you have even more bodies on on the board. So that's maybe something.
All right. Fun. So now JP, give us a fun build.
We don't do that here, Tim.
Oh, sorry.
We take our saga way too seriously.
Yeah, sorry.
Go to the fluff podcast. actually, I would throw in a unit of warhounds for this, for fun. Also, kind of moving into a little bit of the model choice as well. War Games Atlantic Irish box set includes a ton of extra dogs. So if you're using that anyway, they come in the box, and they look super fun. They're also like a little bit of a counter punch. I mean, there's nothing really on the board that meshes particularly well with them. That gives you a ton of extra attacks or anything else like that. But it's a fun little unit. And it could surprise your opponents as they do run through terrain and everything else. I think I would take that one for fun and then take a bunch of warriors with javelins. I'm not sure why.
Look at you being less good at the game. Good job. Taking warriors over levies. Damn.
I just don't like levies. No, but there's no reason not to take javelins with levies, unfortunately, especially with the old ways. However, like, I don't know, the slings just seem really strange to me. I don't associate slings with Irish people, but I might be wrong.
No, but I mean, I have seen the Irish be played with bows instead of slings many times, and it looks perfectly fine, and because people use it for Scots and Welsh and whatever. So I think it's fine to do that if you feel like the slings are weird and they have literally the same rules, and people will notice what these guys can do. So it's fine.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Also, if you decide to take the War Games Atlantic has a bunch of slings in the box, not enough to do this particular build. But if you, I think the War Games Atlantic Goths have slings in it as well, and also the little sling arms in the Dark Age or the Griffin Beast Dark Age Warriors are also compatible with the War Games Atlantic ones. So plenty of different slings to find.
Get your slings action on.
Yeah, you just need to network within your saga. You need to pick this has left and right, and then you have a Irish warband in no time. I think I would definitely take two currents. There even a reason to take? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Oh, unfortunately, no. And we also need to discuss, have you ever seen a Warlord with heavy weapons?
Absolutely not. No, I think that's not even true. I think I think on the one of the German tournaments where it was like Iron Man style, where you get a random warband, I think I ended up getting an Irish warband with Kurwraiths and Warlords being equipped with heavy weapons. And it was fun. It worked. I think I might have even used Ireland's Heart, now that I think about it.
Should we talk about the model choices?
Yeah, you already mentioned it. I think obviously the perfect models for this are somewhere between the Dark Age Warriors from Gripping Beast and then the War Games Atlantic Irish. They are just amazing having the dogs in there as well. Just buying two of those boxes easily gets you warband done. It is what I did. And then the current Victrix Dark Age sets, I think you can definitely take some of those parts as well if you wanted to.
Yeah, the Victrix have the Dark Age archers and slingers, so you can get some extra slingers in there.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I reviewed it, but I think you can only get some like two slings out of each sprue of six. So you're definitely not going to get like all the levy with slings included unfortunately. But I think the War Games Atlantic, if you want to go the slinger route, is definitely one of the better ones. Also, just Dark Age Warriors are pretty solid. I've got a box of Dark Age Warriors, which I'm more and more considering turning into shooty Irish guys.
Yeah.
So, and then also, yeah, like if you have a friend who's done like Anglo-Saxons or something like that, they're not using the slings. So just ask them if they have any bits. And then, you should be able to fill up your all your guys with slings, and then you're ready to go pretty much. So probably also one of the cheaper warbands to go down. All you have to do is buy three heroes and a box of Dark Age Warriors for slings.
Easy.
You also have some metal options with the Irish with footsore miniatures. They have a nice number of I think mostly javelin options. They have some slingers as well, but then they look suitably kind of disheveled and equipped. So the options exist. Personally, I think plastic, either with the Dark Age Warriors or mixed with the Dark Age and the War Games Atlantic Irish Warriors, gives you a nice little mix of dogs, guys with slings, javelins as well. So. And they mix quite nicely as well. So nice and easy, I think. This warband's pretty easy to get into. Nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
Lots of different options. I think people also tend to start off with like lots of different options, with like a warlord on horse and heavy weapon, and then kind of narrow it down. No need. I don't know. I don't want to discourage people from doing it. Like, it's a really cool way of doing it. You don't always have to optimize everything for beating phase. I think I would be more than happy to run like a warband with like, I don't know, warlord on not on horse, because then you're missing out on some of the best abilities. So I don't know why they included that. But yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Go good. So the question for me, obviously, is knowing that you can build different stuff, but also knowing that the machine gun build is that one that's being built the most. What's your rating out of five for these guys?
I think they're like four out of five slings. They're not a negative warband to play most of the time. I think. Like with terrain placement, like with the sling option as well, and the sling warband, they basically don't want to fill the board with terrain either. So that kind of cuts down on some of the other stuff, like the Sons of Dana and stuff like that. If you do decide to put down terrain, you can put down like line of sight blocking terrain, like the hill or something like that,
mm-hmm.
to kind of mess with them a little bit and block line of sight. So I don't think it's like unbeatable.
Yeah.
I think it might be a little bit frustrating if, for example, you have a scenario like ambush or feasting and pillaging where you have a band in the middle of the board with no terrain on it. Then it becomes a little bit tricky if you don't want to go out, grab an objective as, or something, and then you just get completely murdered. Like, that becomes pretty tough. But all in all, if you manage to catch them, generally they're not ready for it, and they're going to get chopped up.
I agree with your four. I think there's not many warbands that feel like they're at a complete disadvantage or have like no chance into these guys. Like, there's only like the Norse Gaels, I think, which are literally impossible to win with into Irish, just because of the playstyle. But yeah, every other warband has a chance, and they will have to make some sacrifice. And they usually make for good games, because the attacking warband usually, like the attacking warband into the Irish, usually exhausts itself in the beginning, and then I feel like the Irish always make for a good game for me. They're always scary to see at the other side of the table, but also cool. So I think they're one of the great starter warbands for sure.
All right, cool. I think we've pretty much covered everything for the Irish.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Good warband.
Indeed. Very fun. Thank you very much, Tim. And
thank you, JP.
Thanks to our listeners for hanging in there and
waiting for the episodes. We appreciate you.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Take care, everyone, and speak to you soon.
Cheers. Bye-bye.